Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Makos Daf Yud Aleph Makos 11, and we've been discussing in this tractate, and specifically in this chapter, that one who kills Beshogeg, one who kills accidentally, must go into exile, and if he doesn't go into exile, the blood avenger of the relative can kill the accidental murderer. So the Torah tells us that this person must run to the city of refuge in this exile, that this person must stay there until Acharei Mos Kohen Hagadol, until the Kohen Gadol has died. And that's what it says in Bamidbar chapter 35, verse 28. In the earlier verse in Bamidbar chapter 35, verse 25, it says he should stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies, Asher Mashach Oso B'Shem HaKodesh, specifically the Kohen Gadol, who was anointed, the high priest who was anointed with the holy oil. In our Mishnah on today's Daf on 11a, it tells us specifically which Kohen Gadol must die in order for the murderer to be able to be released from the city of refuge. So our Mishnah tells us, Echad Mashuach B'Shem HaMishcha, whether or not the Kohen Gadol who died was anointed with the anointing oil. And Rashi tells us that all the high priests were anointed with this anointing oil until the time of King Yoshiyahu at the end of the reign of the kings of Judah. Ve'echad HaMeruba Begadim, or from that point on, from once Yoshiyahu, the according to the Gemara in Horios 13a, Yoshiyahu took the anointing oil and he buried it. From that point on, the Kohen Gadol was no longer distinguished by the anointing oil, but from that point on, he was distinguished by the fact that he wore 8 garments, whereas all the other Kohanim, all the other priests, wore 4 garments. So from that point on, from when Yoshiyahu buried the oil, then it was just 8 garments. So whether or not the Kohen Gadol was actually anointed with the oil, or whether or not he just had the 8 garments, or also, says our Mishnah, Echad She'avar Mimashichaso, that there is another person who could have been the Kohen Gadol whose death would release the prisoner from the city of refuge, and that was if a person who was the Kohen Gadol became ritually impure, and so then temporarily a different high priest was appointed, and then once the first person became put back in his place, even though the second person was removed from being the Kohen Gadol, his death would still release the prisoner from the city of refuge, and the blood avenger would no longer be allowed to kill that prisoner. All of these people, say our Mishnah, Machzirin Eserotzeach, all of these Kohen Gadols who die, they allow the murderer to return from the city of refuge. Rabbi Yehuda says, also Mashuach Milchama, there's a fourth type of Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol who was anointed to lead the children of Israel into battle, and he would stand out there and go into battle with them and encourage them to repent before going into battle. He too was anointed, and so therefore his death also would allow the murderer to go free. And so our Mishnah says, since the release of these prisoners was dependent upon the deaths of the Kohen Gadol, l'fikach imoseihen shel kohanim misapkos lahen michya uchsus, therefore the mothers of these Kohen Gadols would give to the people who were in the city of refuge, to the murderers, food and clothing, k'dei shelo yispalu al b'neihem sheyamusu, so that they should not pray for their children, so that their sons would die. Meaning to say that the mothers of the Kohen Gadols were worried that the murderers would be praying that their sons would die, and so in order to prevent that, they would bring food and clothing to them. Why specifically the mother and not the Kohen Gadol itself? Because the Aruch HaNer explains that if it was the Kohen Gadol itself, that maybe would incentivize people to want to go into the city of refuge. They'll say, look, we'll run there, and they're going to give us food and clothing, and so we'll have everything we need. So therefore, it's the mothers who do it, because the person will think, oh, maybe the mother will die first, and so therefore I won't necessarily be released, and I won't have my food and my clothing. And so therefore, that's why the Aruch HaNer says that it's the mother who brings the food and not the Kohen Gadol himself. But the Mishnah asks a fundamental question. The Gemara asks a fundamental question on our Mishnah. The Gemara asks the question, what did the Kohen Gadol do wrong that he needs to, that his mother needs to be concerned that the people are going to pray for his death? Why do we care if they pray for his death? He didn't do anything wrong. So the Gemara says, yes, he did do something wrong. What did the Kohen do wrong? So there's two different expressions in our Gemara, but the basic simple answer is Hayo lahen levakesh rachamim al doron v'lo bikshu, that it was the job of the Kohen Gadol, it's the job of the high priest, that he should have been asking for mercy for the people of his community. He should have been praying for the community that they not sin or that nothing bad happened to them. And because he wasn't praying properly, then therefore it's the responsibility of the leader of the Kohen Gadol, and therefore it's totally dependent upon him. And this specifically is the job of the Kohen Gadol, because we know that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he was responsible for praying for the forgiveness of all the sins of Israel. And so therefore, when you pray for the forgiveness of the sins of Israel, that will nullify the harsh decrees. And so therefore, he should have been praying that the wicked people will repent from their sins and will be saved from harsh decrees. And because he either did not pray properly or lead properly, it's for this reason why the mother of the Kohen Gadol is concerned that the prayers of the murderers will be successful when they pray for her son to die. And the Gemara tells us a story that there was a specific person, the Achle Aryeh, that a lion ate this person, and this person who was eaten by this lion was living Berachok Tlosa Parseimine. This person was living three parsing, which is a great distance from Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, from the place where Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was living. And Rabbi Yoshua Levi was the great scholar who was in that community, and this person was eaten by a lion three parsings distance. And because of this, Lo Ishtaya as a result of this, Elijah the prophet did not visit Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi for 3 days. And the implication is because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi should have been requesting mercy from God that such a terrible calamity will not happen in his place. Why is this specifically happening to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Because we know from other sugyos in Shas that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was specifically the tzaddik, the righteous person who went out of his way to care for people in need, and specifically working with people who are sinners. And so therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi of all people should have been responsible for any calamity that happened in even a distance of three parsings. It was his job to make sure and to protect all the vulnerable people. And because he didn't do this, Elijah said, "This is your fault," and Elijah didn't visit him for 3 days.